We continue the football conversation, though, with our next guest via the fan hotline. He, of course, covers the Cleveland Browns as part of the great team of reporters for Cleveland.com that covers the Cleveland Browns. Dan Lobby joining us on the show. Dan, are you excited? Are you, trying to prolong summer as long as you can? Are you gonna miss it? Like, where are your emotions as you get ready for another Browns training camp?
You know what? I'm excited that I get to spend way too much time with the two of you guys here for the next 6 months of my life. Spend way too much time in that room, on the practice field, just be around you guys way more than I should be. That's what I'm really looking forward to.
Well, we're looking forward to spending time with you too, Dan, as always. Daryl and I have had a couple different debates here about the Browns and just different things kind of coming down the pike here with this team. I guess I'll start with one of the overarching questions we asked earlier in the show, which is, with this quarterback competition, is there an outcome or a result that pleases everybody, generally pleases everybody, or like appeases the masses, or is it just going to be divisive no matter what?
I think it's probably divisive no matter what, but I guess if I had to choose one that could probably please the most people, it would probably be Joe Flacco starting. Yeah. I think Kenny Pickett would cause a certain amount of angst. I don't think there's some huge groundswell, at least outside of the building, in Berea for Dylan Gabriel. Obviously, there are a lot of people that, believe Shedeur Sanders should just be the starter, put him out there. You're not going to please those people unless Shedeur Sanders is the guy. But I think Joe Flacco is probably the most popular one. He's the one that if we go out there week one and he's starting for the Browns against the Bengals, I think that would make the most people the happiest, at least from a fan perspective.
How shocked would you be if one of these rookies does win the quarterback job, though, in week one?
I would be shocked. Now, I'd be more shocked if it was Shedeur than Dylan Gabriel, just based on sort of how the Browns are treating this and how they seem to like Dylan Gabriel. But, you know, we've talked about it. When you look at that first month plus of the season, it's a really difficult schedule. And you've got to have a guy out there who can run your offense. You know, again, if we're talking about Flacco, this is a guy that can get the ball downfield to Jerry Jeudy, adds a little explosiveness. You know, you can kind of have the training wheels off if you have a veteran, if you've got a starter, or if you've got a rookie out there. You know, you've got to pull some things back really early in the season. So I would be surprised if there's a rookie out there week one.
Dan Lobby joining us on the show. We were just also debating, Dan, about the rookies coming in and who's going to make an immediate impact and all these different things. And this led to a question about just pressure in general on all these guys. And so of the guys in this rookie class, who do you think is under the most pressure to perform? Obviously, they're not all going to play immediately, but like once they play, who's under the most pressure to perform immediately?
Well, for taking the quarterbacks out of the equation, I would almost look at a guy like, with the Quinshon Judkins thing, the way that's gone, obviously that puts Dylan Sampson in a different light. But the first name that popped into my mind was Carson Schlesinger. Because when I look at this linebacking core, it's really thin. And without JOK, who was really developing into a top-tier linebacker, you don't really have a lot there. And, you know, of course, Devin Bush is going through his own domestic incident and whatever happens there, and if there's any discipline from the NFL. Jordan Hicks is a good player. He's also not getting any younger. He was hurt last year, so we'll see how long he can stay healthy. I think there's a lot of pressure on Carson Schlesinger to get out there early and get up to speed quickly.
Where do you think the strength of this team is, Dan? I mean, we could sit here and look at this roster right now and pretty much poke holes in it anywhere and everywhere. But if this team is going to be competitive, where do you think that's going to come from?
I still think the strength of this team, it's two things. It's the offensive line. And again, that ability to run the football. Now, with the wild card of Quinshon Judkins and not knowing if you're going to have him, when you're going to have him, that changes that a little bit. But I still think the offensive line is a strength of this team when it's healthy. And I feel good about this secondary for the most part. I like Denzel Ward. I think Martin Emerson can have a bounce back year. I don't think there's anything spectacular in that safety room, but I think you can figure it out. I think you can have a pretty good secondary, and I think this defense as a whole can be pretty good. So I would point to the back end of the defense, and I'd point to the offensive line.
Getting back to the Quinshon conversation for a moment here, Dan, I don't know that Andrew Berry should be blamed for specifically making the pick of Quinshon Judkins because there was no red flags, right? Like the pre-draft process, everybody had good things to say about him. There wasn't really any character concerns. None of that stuff was on the radar with him. But what I find interesting is like, should there be some blame to go around for Barry in relation to just the culture that's being established here in Cleveland, where they've basically said, like, hey, we'll take anybody. Frankly, we'll take a guy in Deshaun Watson and even sort of reward him in a way by giving him a $230 million fully guaranteed contract. What role does he play in that? And for that reason, does he deserve some blame for this happening yet again on his watch?
Yeah, I mean, I think anytime something like this happens, the people in charge, you need to really take a look at what they're doing and the culture they're creating. And, you know, I think back to Mike Hall last year when that all went down. We show up and Mike Hall's on the practice field like the very day that he was you know, yeah, had been arrested. And so you see things like that. You know, Perrion Winfrey, when he was kind of going through his stuff, you know, he was out there on the practice field for parts of that. Devin Bush was there all throughout the offseason program. So, you know, they tend to just sort of fall back on this. We're going to trust the legal process. We're going to let this all play out. And it just seems like they aren't taking the steps after the fact. You know, hey, Mike Hall, you got into this situation. Let's keep you in the building for a little while. Let's not have you out there while everyone's watching practice. You know, let's take a step back and figure out what we want to do here. Let's not just give some milk toast answers in the press conferences and, you know, let guys go out and practice and we'll just wait for the disciplinary process to play out. I think that's a big part of this is what message are you sending after the fact with these guys? And I think that, you know, this Judkins situation is interesting because obviously he hasn't signed the contract yet. So that gives them a little bit of wiggle room. So I think they're handling this okay for now. We'll sort of see what happens over the next few weeks. But I think right now, even if they're just able to kind of hide behind that contract situation, I think they're handling this one the right way.
Dan, when you you know, look at this team, I asked you earlier about where you think the strength of it is outside of the set the quarterback thing aside, right? Because, I mean, we're going to be charting passes every day and how many times who is sipping Gatorade and what flavor and who's talking to who and all that kind of stuff. What position battle outside of quarterback are you most intrigued or excited to watch?
I want to see how this edge rusher position plays out. You know, because I'm actually a little bit intrigued by guys like Isaiah McGuire, Alex Wright, Joe Tryon, Shoyanka.
Yeah.
We could go through this process and we could find out that those guys are all just third and fourth edge rushers. And there isn't a real second edge rusher in that group. But I find that intriguing to kind of see who's going to be that guy who's going to play opposite Myles Garrett and take advantage of this opportunity because it's there for whoever wants it. I'm more excited about that than I am, like, you know, the receiver battle is sort of similar, right? It's a bunch of young guys, but I'm not really excited about any of those guys. I am sort of interested to see what that group of second edge rushers, those young kind of former draft picks, you know, Tryon Shoyanka is a former first rounder from Tampa. I want to see if any of those guys can step up and kind of grab that second edge rush role.
Talking to Dan Lobby, Cleveland.com on the Fan Hotline. Along the lines, you mentioned a position battle there specifically, but is there a non-quarterback storyline, like something that maybe is catching your attention that you're going to sort of be following throughout the next month or so that you're most interested or attracted to?
Man, a non-quarterback storyline. I'm really in, you know, just this rookie class in general, I think is the big thing. And again, this all, I've said this like five times, but this Judkins thing just throws a wrench into all of this. But potentially the Browns have a very good draft class. If you take the quarterbacks out of it, whatever you think of the quarterbacks, they could end up with a pretty good draft class. So seeing Harold Fannin, you know, what's he going to do now that the competition steps up a little bit in training camp? And, you know, it's going to be more physical. He looked really good in the spring. How's he going to look? I mentioned Schlesinger. How quickly does Mason Graham sort of become, you know, that starter on the inside? What can Dylan Sampson do with this opportunity? This is an opportunity for him now to, you know, I know he's a guy that believes he could probably be a starting running back in this league, and he probably should have gone higher than the fourth round. So here's his chance to prove it, right? So I really want to see the development of this entire rookie class because I do think it has a chance to I don't know if it's a, like a game-changing class or a foundational class, but I think it has a chance to really give this team some good young core players moving forward.
Dan, Kevin Stefanski's been pretty candid this offseason talking about the toughness aspect of this team needs to get tougher to better handle the 17-game season. Now, obviously, rules are in place that limit what you can do, when you can do it, how you can do it, and all that. But just from your perspective, what can the Browns do during this camp, which feels like it's going to be an eternity, to, I guess, better prepare the players to be stronger and tougher so that they're able to be in a position to be more successful come the regular season?
Well, I've always wanted to see these camps be a little more competitive under Kevin Stefanski. It seems like in all of his years here, everything's sort of been set. You kind of go into camp and you're like, okay, here's your starters at every position. There's maybe a position battle for the, the third and fourth defensive tackle, or, the swing tackle on whatever it is. I would love to see a more competitive camp from just the standpoint of like a guy like Cedric Tillman. Hey, we think you're going to be the number two guy, but you got to go earn it. You got to go prove it in training camp. Even a guy like DeJuan Jones, where it's the deck is clear for him to be the starting left tackle. He's going to be the starting left tackle. Still, maybe let's see you go out there and earn it a little bit here in training camp. I'd like to see a little more competition. Now, there's always a fine line there when it comes to physicality. And, I remember Freddie Kitchens had these guys in pads every day and practicing for, it felt like 4 hours.
How'd that work?
We were out there. And obviously that, how did that work out? But I do think a step up in competition, a little more physicality. Kevin Stefanski has at least been talking a good game about that. I think it'll be good for this football team, because the one thing I think they will be able to do early in the season is be a physical, run the ball, control the clock, get after the quarterback on defense. And that's how you can surprise some teams in September. Eventually, your lack of depth is going to catch up to you. But if they're ready to go week one and be physical and tough and get after some teams, maybe they can steal some wins early in the year.
Dan, you mentioned Harold Fannin Jr. a little bit earlier. I want to get your insight into how you believe that slot spot is going to be handled, because right now it's been a lot of Jamari Thrash as at the receiver position, but we know going back to 12 personnel is something that Kevin Stefanski's offense calls for as they get back to the basics here. And so will it maybe be more of a tight end situation? Will it be a wide receiver situation? Is it maybe somebody who isn't even on the roster yet that could be filling that role at some point?
I think tight end is obviously going to be a big part of it because of, something you just mentioned. I mean, we're going to be talking about guys like Jamari Thrash and Deontay Johnson and, even Cedric Tillman, some of these guys, Michael Woods. Some of these guys have a chance, but none of them get you really excited. So I think the tight end position is going to be big. And if you think about Kevin Stefanski's offense at its best, going back to 2020, 2021, one of the things he's really good at is putting big personnel out there, using motion and kind of using that big personnel to sort of hunt for matchups, get Jerry Jeudy, somehow get him on a linebacker or a safety, get a defense sort of out of sorts. So I think tight end is going to be really important for what they want to do this year. And of course, Njoku, he's got to have a bounce back year. I thought he was disappointing last year. And of course he was dealing with injuries, and Fannin is going to help there, I think, as well.
Does David Njoku get a contract extension?
I mean, they might need to. I think his dead cap right now for next year is something like $20 million. So just to kind of ease that, they might need to give him some kind of extension. So they've been pushing that money down the road. It might catch up to him next year. So even if it's a small extension, just to spread that out a little, they might need to give him one.
Dan Lobby does a tremendous job covering the Cleveland Browns here in town. For Cleveland.com, of course, you can follow him at Dan_Lobby.